The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Well, I have a question for you. And this is probably something that I could ask the adults too, because they'd probably answer the same. When you're afraid at night, what helps the most? Can you think about something that, what do you do when you're afraid at night? I mean, sometimes I do as simple as I cover myself up in the covers, right? Have you ever done that? Put a sheet, you've never done that? Only your pastor. Well, that's one way to do it. And sometimes we like to have a little light, and sometimes that helps. But you know what else helps? Sometimes, did you ever call them mom or dad? Mom, dad, and then what do they do when they come into the room?
Snuggle with you.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I was kind of being silly last night. I said, they don't juggle, right?
No.
They don't juggle. They don't dance. They don't do anything except be with you. Because that's really what snuggling is too, right? They're just by you. I think that that's important because of this. In our relationship with God, if we're afraid, what do we want? We want God to be with us. And so that's what we tell the world too. It's not that God's going to do all these things necessarily, but God will be there. God will be with us. And oftentimes that's enough. That's what we really want. We want God right there with us. Can you pray with me? Dear God, be with us, walk with us, and help us to share your love with others. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's interesting to have this text on Memorial Day, because I always think of Memorial Day as this beautiful state holiday that sort of links in here, right? Because we remember those who we've lost, and many of us are affected by that. And it's always a hard reality to remind ourselves of, as we remember the dead and honor the dead, I think what today is really about is honoring and telling the living who have lost those loved ones that they are loved, and that now we walk with them who have experienced that. I mention that because as we look back, our state, our country, and our faith can sometimes intermingle in a way that isn't necessarily good in our faith. And it's a fine line. How do you do that? I'm specifically going to Rome. So let's talk about Rome for a moment. See, the power of Rome had captivated the world in its day. They had created a peace, but it was by bringing the wars further and further away from the city of Rome. Time would prove that to be an unsustainable peace, but still in the first few centuries AD, you could see how people were drawn to the throne of Rome. And then in 66 AD, there was a rebellion in Jerusalem, and it was crushed very quickly by the power of Rome, and in that, the temple was destroyed. The temple that for Jewish people was the center of their faith as far as buildings were concerned. And you can imagine in that same time period, Christians would feel the same because they were so intermingled. They were still almost one body. So Christians and Jews alike were left to wonder in the face of destruction what was real in their own faith. And what were they called to be, and who were they called to worship? See, the leaders of that throne in the day claimed to be God. That actually goes all the way through the monarchical system. That's kind of the origin of it when Caesar was ordained as a deity when he became the leader of Egypt as well, the Pharaoh, so to speak. And in this environment of leaders who were godlike, this environment, the writer of the Revelation today, the book of Revelation, John, implies to the listener that they have a choice. They can choose to live in the city of Rome and live in those ideals and follow and suffer its fate. Or they can struggle in witness to live in the city of God, a harder journey. In the face of Rome's assertion, John reemphasizes that this new community is a gift that comes from God in heaven. And no, it doesn't always seem easier than taking this other throne. It does not come from Caesar in Rome. And in this words in Revelation today, you'll see he shares a vision of high walls, much like the Romans would build. But the gates are always open. It's a vision of openness in a community. Openness as a way to security. There's also no temple. The vision says specifically there is no temple. Why? Well, partially probably because he was speaking to a lot of people who had just lost the temple. And he wanted to help them see that they were holy, whether that temple stood there or not. Because truly, the city itself, the people there, they are the holy of holies. They together, creating community, become what is holy in Christ Jesus. See, he reminds the people who have lost their great structure of stone that it is their lives, not their buildings, that are the true temple. And then we have these words from Christ in our gospel today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus' words that I believe are as clear as any foundational words for our hope in Christ Jesus. Our peace starts right there. That believing that this final peace is real, even as we stare at the cross and we wonder how, we wonder why, we believe it's real. And yet we are left to ponder, how do we live in this danger zone of life that isn't exactly there in the place of peace? How do we live in a world that so many believe the only answer is not to hold Jesus close, but an efficient weapon, at least something strong to secure yourself, a security system, a wall, or other security to protect us from the broken world around us? How do we as Christians claim something more? From its beginning, Christianity has been beset with this problem. How do we reconcile a determined, hopeful future that we believe in with the need for ethical action now, in the present? And this is what John knew his church was struggling with. How do we empower you to be the church today and not focus only on the kingdom to come? And how do we not lose hope for this world today that God says it is good? See, as we struggle with our broken world and how we are called to carry out the message of the gospel, we turn toward Revelation reminded of how this struggle is not new. And when you read through the book of Revelation, you'll see a lot of theologians argue about certain aspects of it. But one thing is very clear. To reign with God in the book of Revelation is to serve God's purpose. You want to reign with God? Serve God's purpose. And that sounds good to all of us still, doesn't it? We want to do that. But there's the rub, isn't it? For you and I certainly have days where a clear purpose is not put forth to us. And even when we feel like there's some shoulds that should be done, we find ourselves unable to figure out how. I want to share a story with you that happened to me only 9 days ago. I had a powerful moment where I have to admit, with all my training and experience as a pastor, doing the exact things that a pastor is called to do, I was still not sure of what to do. I went to visit Bonnie Baum, she had been in hospice care for several weeks. I had seen her earlier in the week, and I expected it to be a short drop-by visit. She was waiting for death's grip to become more firm, and in that time of waiting, she liked short visits, not long conversations, but did appreciate just the opportunity to be connected. When I walked into the room, though, I realized everything had changed. I've experienced enough of death to know that I can be fooled, but I was pretty sure that this was the day, that this was coming, that it was close to the moment where Bonnie would leave us, and I knew that I needed to stay a little longer. Now, I know a lot of you have never been in that moment, or if you have, you really don't want to go back there. And in your mind, you may think, I never want to be there if I can help it. And I get it. I get it. Because with all my training, I have to admit that when Bonnie said, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, it took my breath away too. I had nothing to help with that. Nothing. Totally helpless. For a moment, I searched for the text of a wonderful ritual that I had on my phone that I had used many times before. I had it there, and I was just fumbling to get to it, but I quickly realized that staring at my 2-inch by 4-inch screen was not my calling this day. And then I realized the one thing that I could do, the one thing that all of us can do, was simply walk with Lee and Bonnie. Lee, her mother, 90-something years old, holding her hand on one side in this strange place, and me holding her hand on the other. I have been given a few helpful words in my training as a pastor. I said those pastor words that I was supposed to say, but again, it cut through it all every time I said them. I can't breathe, I can't breathe. For a moment, I felt helpless again. I set my hands to my side for a moment, exasperated, desiring to do what was right, not knowing what was right. And a gift of words came from Bonnie, from Bonnie's dying breath that gave me purpose. Her hand went like this, and she said, "Hold me, hold me." And I grabbed her hand again. And with Lee on the other side, we held that hand tight. And I sang of the cold and broken Alleluia that she asked to be sung at her memorial service. And I sang Amazing Grace, But I did it to the tune of Peaceful Easy Feeling by the Eagles, because I knew Bonnie. She was more of that type of Christian. Living out in the world with words that weren't necessarily holy, but they became holy through how she heard them. And with Lee on one side and me on the other, we said, "You are loved." And we held her hand, and we held her hand. And her breathing relaxed. And she died. And we held her hand some more. Because we didn't know when that last moment was. But we knew that holding her hand was the one thing that we could do. We could walk with her. I realized that I had experienced one of those end-time moments from the book of Revelation. I had seen a glimpse of the other side through the birth pangs of this side, and I'd been given a gift of clarity on what I could do by exasperating words coming from a dying woman. "Hold me. Hold me." From their room, the four-year-old says, "Hold me." And we go into that room, and we grab their hand, just like Lee grabbed Bonnie's hand. You and I, we sometimes don't want to talk about death, but we experience death every day, and there's Memorial Day, and then there's Graduation Day. And guess what? They both honor a death that we're experiencing together. And you know the one thing we can do? We can listen to that voice that says, "Hold me." And we can reach out and connect. As I look to our world, I think it's more than that. But I don't think it's more than community. I think ultimately it can all be summarized in that. To get to understand our complicated world, we start with what we can do, that is community. Not the biggest building. That will be torn down. But each of us will walk into rooms of life, all over your life, and realize the one thing you can do is connect with the people who are there and let them know that they are loved and they are not alone. And no matter what you are facing, even death, that we are called to use our gifts with every breath we have. And I want to tell you, the last few breaths that Bonnie gave were a gift to me and now to you. Amen.